This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. A partial building collapse in Davenport, Iowa, in the Quad Cities killed three people late last month. The six-story apartment building was housing more than 50 residences at the time of collapse. The building was more than a century old, and just days before the collapse, a structural engineer said a brick facade on one wall of the building was at imminent risk of crumbling. But city officials and the building owner had been warned of structural problems for months leading up to the collapse, according to city documents. And tenants of the building said they'd complained to the city about a variety of problems in recent years. Now, the residents of the building are being left to pick up the pieces, metaphorically, at least. Several of them have filed lawsuits against the city and the building's owner. A spokesperson for owner Andrew Wold told CNN last week, quote, "We are devastated by the building's collapse and our hearts go out to everyone involved, people displaced, people injured, and of course the people that lost their lives," end quote. And the city said it cannot comment on pending litigation. But someone who does want to comment on pending litigation is with us now. He's one of the attorneys behind one of those lawsuits. Andrew Stroth is a civil rights attorney and managing partner with Action Injury Law Group out of Chicago. He's representing Quenisha Peachberry and her wife, Lexis, who were in their fourth floor apartment when the building's west side crumbled. Andrew, thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on your show.
Also with us is Grace Kennicott, a municipal reporter at the Dispatch Argus and Quad City Times newspaper. The city actually moved her out of her apartment near the collapsed building. Grace, welcome to the 21st Show to you as well.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And finally, Herb Trix, news director of our partner station, WVIK, in the Quad Cities. He's also been following the story. Herb, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Well, thank you, Brian. It's good to be back.
Listeners, you can join our conversation today at 800-222-9455 if you have questions about the collapse of the Davenport apartment building or just rescue efforts or anything else, how this has affected residents. Give us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Herb, I'm going to start with you because I mentioned those structural problems the building had leading up to the collapse. Can you say more about that and the efforts to repair the building?
Well, I think there's a whole list of repairs going, structural problems going back years. It's just one of those things where I think people didn't look at all the previous inspections and lack of responses. They just saw, okay, what do we do today? Some bricks are falling off. Well, you know, bricks have been falling off for years. You know, elevators haven't been inspected. There have been cracks in the walls. You know, so someone should have been brave enough at some point to say, you know, we need to do something before it gets worse.
If somebody was renting in that building, would they have had any warning about the structural soundness or these past problems?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, they talked to their neighbor or their door wouldn't quite shut or the windows wouldn't close or stay open or something. That would be their only clue. I mean, unless they were wise enough to call a building inspections department and say, hey, what about this building?
Grace, I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, what do we know about how the building actually collapsed, right? Was the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say?
Yeah, so a short story. I did live in that building for 6 months and...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I lived in that building for 6 months, and I personally, in my apartment, I didn't see anything. But sort of going back to the question you just asked, Herb, you wouldn't have known or you wouldn't have guessed that it was going to happen because you go somewhere to rent and you're putting your trust in these people. So you see a crack and you're like, oh, it's probably nothing, or like the city inspector has been there. And I had my fair share of problems, so it's just sort of frustrating as a renter that you're putting your trust in all these people and then something like this sort of just happens.
Yeah. Wow. That is fascinating. I didn't realize you had that firsthand experience in the building. So if I can still ask you though, what do we know about what it was that actually, you know, took this from a series of what people perceive to be individual problems, right? A crack here, maybe my door doesn't quite shut the way I expect it to actually having this collapse.
Yeah, it was definitely a buildup of, I think, just ongoing problems. I know the brick was starting to bulge. I remember because my current apartment is right across from it. So I remember in late winter, it had to be about February, I started to notice like the exterior wall, it didn't look quite right. I could see something like, and of course I could only see so far and could only assume. It looked like it was starting to bulge then, and they had workers out there. They were working and they were fixing it. And it seemed like it got fixed from what I could from my apartment window, but I just think it's just been a lead up of ongoing problems and that
Sure.
not being addressed as fast as it probably should have been. That brick just bulging, there was nothing you could do when it came, even a few days leading up to it, as another inspector who was working nearby on a different building. He even came by and saw this brick bulging, and he was like, "You need to get your people out of there."
Andrew, I want to bring you into the conversation now. I mentioned you're representing Quenisha Berry and her wife, Lexis. Take me through what they experienced the day of the collapse.
You know, they experienced a tragedy that is pretty unimaginable, right? They were in apartment number 411, and it was around 5 o'clock. They heard cracks, saw some cracks in the wall. They really felt something was wrong. They went to the door. They grabbed their two cats. Each of them grabbed one of the cats, walked to the door, and suddenly, Quanisha, affectionately named Peach, fell 4 stories to the bottom. And then Lexis was right next to her, didn't fall like Peach, but just at that dramatic moment, everything changed. And it's amazing that in 2023, this kind of event can happen. Because I will tell you, from meeting with Peach and Lexis last week in Davenport, she's actually quite inspiring because she said she may have lost her leg, but she didn't take her life. And if you talking to the first responders and to the doctors, she was trapped in that building for hours. Lexis pled with the first responders to find her wife. They finally found her hours later. And then, you know, again, 6 hours or so later, Dr. Atwell from Genesis East, who's a trauma surgeon, was there with the team, hard hats on, some of the first responders holding Peach up, and they had to make a decision. And they actually brought Lexis in a few minutes earlier to just try to calm the situation down a little bit. And then they basically took amputated Peach's leg from really right below her waist. You know, but way above her knee, I'll say that. And so
Wow.
within 3 minutes, they basically sawed off her leg, wrapped her up, and got her to Genesis within 10 minutes. It
My God. Wow.
is out of a movie, the nightmare she experienced.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, it was inspiration to talk to her, given what transpired. So that's
All
what
right, we're
happened.
gonna,
Go ahead.
yeah. Wow, that is a remarkable story. We need to take a break on our program, unfortunately. We're going to continue this though when we come back. We're talking about the building collapse in Davenport at the end of last month. This is the 21st show. More to come. Do stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the building collapse in Davenport, Iowa, in the Quad Cities. Late last month, three people were killed, others were injured. The building was home to 50 residences at the time of the collapse, and people have been, aside from being killed and injured, many people have been displaced, even in nearby buildings as well. We're talking about all of this with Andrew Stroth, who's an attorney with the Action Injury Law Group out of Chicago, who's representing Peach Berry and her wife, Lexis, who were in their fourth floor apartment when the building's west side crumbled. Also, Grace Kennicott, a reporter at the Dispatch Argus and Quad City Times newspapers, who previously lived in this building and now lives across the street or nearby, and her The city actually moved her out of her building near the collapsed building. And finally with us is Herb Trix, who is news director at our partner station WVIK in the Quad Cities. And he's been following this story. Herb, before the break, we heard that harrowing account of from Andrew about his client, Peach Berry. What was the rescue operation like from your perspective as a reporter covering this, following this?
Well, the rescue operation was behind some barriers, and we could sort of see things going on. We could see people going in and out of the building. You know, they had search dogs and incident teams and streets blocked off everywhere. And, you know, it was, you could sort of see the edge of it. But, you know, as far as being in any closer than that, we couldn't. I mean, we had to rely on the city and the incident, the fire department, police department to tell us what they were actually doing. But like I said, the building would be, you know, they'd say, we've done our last search, and then something would come up, and they'd say, wait a minute, let's go back in. And, one of the last times they went back in is when they started bringing out pets, you know, pet cats and dogs and snakes and all sorts of things like that.
You know, Herb, I mentioned that three people had died in the collapse, and it took a week for their bodies to be recovered. What do we know about each of those individuals?
Well, as far as we know, they were living in apartments in that part of the building that collapsed, the same part of the building where the Quenisha and the Lexus were living, that section of the building that dropped to the ground. And my guess is it took so long just because the rescue crews were very reluctant to go next to the building. I mean, you can understand that, since part of it had just collapsed to the ground. And they wanted to be very careful about going through the debris, you know, trying to be respectful, trying to not being sure what they would find. So I think that's why it took a week or so to finally unearth the last of the three bodies.
Andrew, I want to play a clip. This is Lexus Berry at a press conference last week announcing the lawsuit.
What we want is just accountability, to be able to have closure and to know why this happened and to be able to move forward with our lives. We definitely, most importantly, want you guys to know that we are not victims to the situation. We are survivors.
So with that in mind, say more about what Peach and Lexus are hoping to accomplish with this lawsuit against the city and the building owners.
Well, clearly there was negligence. Clearly, the owner of the building valued profit over the health, well-being, safety of the families in that building and the sanctity of life. But there's also several other parties. There's the city of Davenport that was aware of the building issues. There's Select Structural Engineering. There's Alliance Contracting. There's Bi-State Masonry. If you look at the 80-page lawsuit that was filed last week on June 7th. There's several parties that were aware, on notice, and responsible. You know, if you listen to Peach and Lexus, they don't want what happened to them to happen to anyone else ever. If you listen to Peach, she was holding stuff above her head so she wouldn't get hit. She was lifting her head above so she wouldn't get drowned. I mean, it literally was out of a really horrific movie. She survived and Lexus survived, but they're going to utilize this lawsuit to get accountability and transparency and some level of justice from the city of Davenport, owner Andrew Wold, the engineers, the contractors, and others who knew that this could happen. And it did happen. And now we can all be on your show while Peach is sitting in the hospital room with one leg. She showed her one leg to Omar Jimenez on CNN last week, and Omar Jimenez asked her, what does that signify? What does that show you? Peach said, that's a battle wound. I'm not a victim, I'm a survivor, as you heard Lexus say. And she's gonna use her voice and her story and her power to hold the parties responsible and hopefully stop this from happening to anyone else. If you listen to Peach in that interview, she was more worried about the first responders than herself. And then she told the first responders, do what you have to do to get me out. I wanna live my life. So, you know, I can't imagine going through that situation, but I can tell you this, we are going to hold those responsible for the tragedy that took place on May 28th at the Davenport.
Mm-hmm. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation today on the 21st show. We're talking about the building collapse in Davenport, Iowa, in the Quad Cities, and some of the aftermath of that. Herb Trix, news director at WVIK, how have the building owner and the city responded to the collapse and these subsequent legal actions?
Well, both of them have been fairly quiet for much of the time. The city initially was trying to give updates on what was going on. Now that the lawsuits have been filed, the city is being city officials are being much more careful about what they say, what they can comment on. The owner of the building, Mr. Wold, will have to pay a $395 civil fine for not maintaining the building. That was the result of this morning's hearing in a local court.
$395. That I just want to make sure I heard you right there, Herb.
Yep,
$395
for not maintaining the building.
Okay.
The city attorney has been quick to emphasize each time this has come up, and people sort of look, $395. Come on, city attorney has always been quick to say it keeps him from selling the property and avoiding costs related to demolition. So in a way, it sounds laughable to begin with, but the idea is to sort of keep him tied to this. So no one can sort of, well, shall we say, get away from it or find a way out.
Yeah. Grace, what have you heard from residents?
To be held criminally responsible, just so everyone knows, this is not just a civil action lawsuit. The authorities need to hold the owner of the building criminally responsible for what happened on May 28th.
Herb, have you heard the state's attorney or the prosecutor in, I guess it may not be a district attorney,
that
whatever
county.
It is in Iowa there? Yeah.
Nothing yet from the county attorney in Scott County.
Okay.
Just that they're looking into
Grace,
it and they, nothing to say yet.
Okay. Grace, I want to ask you, what have you heard from residents of the building? How are they feeling?
They, of course, are very upset and angry that it happened. I know I talked to one, his name was Ben Blankenship. He's a college student here. He was home for the summer. He left a few days before, and one of his friends called him, who actually works at a bar not too far from the Davenport, and was like, you better not be in that building. And he's like, I'm not, I'm watching it on the news. And so he was, of course, he was feeling very lucky that he wasn't there when it happened, but also quite sad and frustrated that all the belongings he did leave behind, that he's going to have to replace them. I mean, as a college student, when you're working a part-time job, just from personal experience, it could be frustrating to have to now replace all that stuff that you just spent money on getting. And now you're just like, well, I have to start all over again. And I know a lot of people are in that same boat.
Grace, and I know it's not necessarily directly comparable, but I mentioned earlier, you yourself have been affected by the collapse because your apartment was near the Davenport, the building that had the facade fell. What has your experience been?
Yeah, so I live directly across it. So when the collapse happened, I was actually down in Springfield and I saw it. So I was not home at the time. And when I returned, we were still allowed up there. I was going to, of course, get as much as I could out of there in time before I knew this was going to come. They were going to kick us out for the time being. It's been, just from my own experience, kind of frustrating because I showed up after work on a Friday. It was 5 days after the partial collapse, and no one called me from property management or the city. I'm not really sure who was in charge of that. I'm going to assume property management, but I received no email or call. I showed up and someone from the city was like, you're not allowed up there. And I was like, well, I need to get my things. No one contacted me. So now it's just sort of a waiting game. I did talk with the city Friday to sort of get something, because I know they're not saying much. So it's been an experience. It's not one I would think I'd mark my first year at the Quad City Times having. I was lucky enough where I was able to grab some things out and live with one of my coworkers. She had an extra bedroom, so I'm currently at her apartment. I did say to the property management last Friday, I was like, due to the situation across the street and sort of some concerns popping up with other brick buildings downtown, I would be moving out as soon as I'm able to get my stuff out, just because I don't feel comfortable living in a brick building anymore, just given what has happened.
Yeah. Andrew, if someone out there is listening to this and maybe they are worried about their building, but you know it's not yet at the point where it's actually collapsing, what can someone do about that situation?
You know, I think people just need to be vigilant and mindful, and if they notice things, take action. I think a lot of the tenants in that building clearly knew there were problems. And I got to tell you, from what I've learned from our initial investigation, we've got a full investigative team on this. We've got a group of engineers and experts on this. There were a lot of complaints over time about this building. And to me, the tenants did the right thing. They reported those issues. The real core issue is that the building and the property managers and the owner failed to listen to those. And then if you look historically, and I won't go through the archaeology, but where the building has been over the past several years and transferring ownership. And I mean, this to me, the city of Davenport is a very liable party and responsible party because they were also aware. Mr. Wold was also intimately aware. And you know, you can't put a Band-Aid. They tried to cosmetically cover up the structural issues with that building. So I just think people need to be vigilant and report issues as they notice them. But it's shocking to me that in 2023, a building can collapse and, you know, three families no longer have their loved one. And Peach Berry and Lexis Berry's life has changed forever. And we're going to address it through the court system. And we're also going to, we were at the city council meeting last week and the community is rightly outraged. And so I think the city leadership also needs to take actions to rectify and make these families whole and make sure this never happens again in Davenport.
And Brian, yeah, also, I think ahead. If you may have missed the news report from Rochester, Minnesota, after the collapse in Davenport, they had concerns about an old building, a similar building in Rochester, Minnesota, and briefly evacuated a lot of residents to check that it was still safe. So I think there may be some fallout from this across the country.
Yeah, hopefully not literally. Herb Trix is a reporter, or I should say news director at WVIK in the Quad Cities. Grace Kennicott is a reporter at the Dispatch Argus and Quad City Times. And Andrew Stroth is an attorney who is representing a couple caught in the building collapse. Andrew, Grace, and Herb, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Listeners, coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking with Aisha Harris, who is co-host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour and the author of the new book, Wannabe, Reckonings with the Pop Culture That Shapes Me. Also, we'll be talking about some new legislation in Illinois heading to the governor's desk. It's about all-gender bathrooms, which have been around for a while now, but so far they've been single occupancy. This legislation in Illinois would allow for multi-occupancy all-gender bathrooms. We'll hear why backers say it's a good idea and why some conservative lawmakers are opposed. That's all coming up tomorrow on the 21st Show. We love hearing what you thought about what we've been talking about, whether it's today's show, an upcoming show. Let us know. You can send us an email or leave us a voicemail. Even better yet, we may play your response on air. The number for that is 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. You can call anytime, day or night. Leave a message. Again, 217-300-2121. All that information, every way to contact us, is on our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.